All right, take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn to Psalm 78. Psalm 78, and I thought this might happen. We're in Psalm 78, and this is the first time I've used a tablet or to preach out of, and sure enough, It's not on here like it was supposed to be. And so I'm going to attempt to look for this while you're in Psalm 78. Let's read a couple verses, and we're going to look at verse number, in Psalm 78, verse number 37. Let's all stand together out of respect of God's Word, Psalm 78. And let's see here, Psalm 78, the Bible says in verse number 37, for their heart was right with him, their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. For, watch this now, look at verse number 39, for he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get into our message this morning. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do thank you so much for this opportunity to bring a message today. And Lord, I pray that you would use this time. Help us, Lord, to love you and to serve you and to remember. Lord, help us to remember the decisions that we've made this week. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity we have to be in your word one last time before we're done here. Help our hearts to be in the right place. In Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen. You can be seated. It has been a tremendous week. We've seen the Lord do a lot in the preaching services, and I personally have been very moved by what the Lord has done in some of the messages that we've heard, and it's just been a tremendous thing, and praise the Lord for that. Our desire as speakers and as youth workers and pastors and youth pastors and the counselors, our desire, overall desire, is all the young people here would know what God's will is for their life and desire to do what God wants you to do. That's what we want. That's what we want for you, because that's going to be the best life that you can have if you're doing God's will. And God does have a will for every one of your lives. Now, I can't tell you what that will is. I can't tell you what it is that God wants for you specifically. I remember years ago, I was with a group of teenage guys, and we were at Teen Mania, back when they did Teen Mania over at Wildwood Baptist Church, and we were on our way back from that trip, and we were crossing from Oshkosh back over to Galesville, Wisconsin, where I'm from. It's a 3-hour drive to get over there. It's a long, cutting across 21, just a long drive. And as we're going down the road, we were in a Ford Windstar minivan, and two things I discovered that day on that trip with those teenage guys. Number one, whatever CD I'm playing in the front of the van can be controlled from the back of the van. And I didn't know that till that day. So I had a CD in there, some good music. I think it was some kind of a tour group or something. And they would do like a little piano introduction before the girls started, the tour group started singing. And one of the guys figured out you can control the radio from the back of the van. And so there was like a 3-second piano introduction to a song, and he hit the repeat button. And it did that 3-second piano introduction again. And then he hit the reset button again. And then it did that 3-second piano introduction again. And every time he did it, all the guys laughed. And for probably a good hour, we listened to that same little 3-second introduction. and they thought it was hilarious. Every time he did it, everybody laughed. I was ready to drive the van off the road into the ditch and kill all of us in a fiery wreck of some kind. But they thought it was hilarious, and so I learned that day, you can control our radio from the back of that van. I don't have that car anymore, thankfully. But also, as part of that trip, and we were on that trip, one of the guys asked me from the back. We're driving back, and it was a long weekend, or a few days, or whatever it was, and we're heading back. And one of the guys said to me from the back, "Pastor, how do I know what God wants me to do? How do I know what God's will is for my life?" And I couldn't tell him. At that time, I struggled with that question because I didn't know what God's will was for his life, and I can't tell him what God's will was for his life. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is that God wanted him to do. And sometimes that can be a frustration to us because we don't know for sure what it is God wants you to do, but we do want you to have that desire that you find out and that you know what God's will is for your life. And so I learned that day as I thought about that question and over in my mind, I gave him some answers and talked to him about some things, but as I stewed that question over, for days and days and days after that, I stewed that question over in my mind and thought, how does somebody know what the will of God is for their life? And so to this week, you've heard some tremendous messages, maybe many of you, and I hope many of you have made some tremendous decisions this week, decisions to serve the Lord and to do right before God. And as we close this out today, I want to give you some thoughts or some ideas on how to continue to do right so that you can know the will of God for your life. And the idea here is, right, okay, I can't tell you what God's will for your life is 10 years from now. What's God going to have you do in 10 years from now? I have absolutely no idea, right? Your pastor doesn't know. Your youth pastor doesn't know, right? They have some general ideas of where you should be, but they don't know specifically what God's will is for your life 10 years down the road. However, we can help you in making some decisions as you can keep going that direction. And it's times like this, with camp like this, when you make decisions for the Lord, right, and you stick with those decisions and you do right with those decisions, that you'll begin to understand and see God's will for your life. So I want to help you a little bit with sticking with these decisions that you've made this week. But as you have made decisions and you stick with those decisions for the Lord, right, God will begin to reveal and show you his will for your life. So we're looking at Psalm 78. I want to show you a couple of things here in Psalm 78 that I believe are very interesting. In this psalm, we're talking about the nation of Israel. And the Bible says, look at verse number 7. It says that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. What does it say there, right? That they might not forget the works of God. All right? Notice what it says in verse number 8, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law. Notice verse number 11, and forget his works and his wonders that he showed them. What seems to be the problem here? They're forgetting what God has done in their lives. They're forgetting the decisions that they've made. They're forgetting what God has showed them and how God has delivered them. And if you read a lot of the psalm, you can see a lot of what they're talking about. What were some of the things they forgot? Verse number 12, marvelous things did he did in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt and the field of Zoan. And he divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the water to stand on an heap, right? He performed great miracles. God performed great miracles for them. And they forgot, the Bible says. Verse number 15, he clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of rock and caused water to run down like rivers. Notice if you would, verse number 24, and he rained down manna upon them to eat and gave them of the corn of heaven and did eat angels' food. He sent them meats to the full, right? He provided for them. He showed them miracles. He gave them provision. But yet, all that God had done for them, right, they just simply forgot. What does that mean? The word remember is an interesting word in the Bible. So we have to understand what these words mean and what they say. If you look at verse number 38 again. And being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. God showed great mercy to them. Yea, many a time he turned his anger away and did not stir up his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh. What exactly does that mean? He remembered that they were but flesh. Do you think God forgot that they were made of flesh? And all of a sudden he's like, oh, that's right. They're made of flesh. I forgot all about that. No, that's not at all what happened here, right? Of course, God didn't forget. He purposely now was turning his attention back towards the fact that they are sinful creatures. We're sinful creatures. We're made of flesh. Take your Bibles, if you would, to Exodus. We'll look at this quickly. Exodus chapter number 2. Are you with me still? It is Friday. We're heading home soon. You've had camp all week. You've stayed up late and had to get up early. You're tired. You're ready to go to sleep. I get it. It's like a Sunday afternoon service. Pastors hate Sunday afternoon. I hate Sunday afternoon services, right? Because everybody would normally be taking a nap, and you want them to sit in church on a Sunday afternoon. Anyhow, okay, here we go. Stick with me now. Exodus chapter number, chapter number 2. And Moses, verse number 21, Exodus 2, 21. And Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah his daughter. You remember Moses left Egypt, and now he is out of Egypt, and he's living with, his name escaped me now, but living with the man here. Verse number 22, and she bare him a son. He got this man's daughter, Zipporah, and they have a son, and he called his name Gershom, and he said, I have been a stranger in a strange land, right? Moses left Egypt, and now he's a stranger in a strange land. Verse 23, and it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up to God by reason of the bondage, right? Now the children of Israel are in Egypt in bondage, and they're crying out to God. Notice what verse number 24 says, and God heard their groanings, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Did God forget that he made a covenant with them? Of course not. He was very aware of the covenant that he had made, the promise he had made to Abraham, and that promise he had done. But the Bible is using the word remember as in now he is now turning his attention toward them once again. All part of God's plan. God purposely allowed them, right, to be in Egypt and to get under a bondage, and he turned his attention away from them and purposely put them in that position. But now he's once again going to turn his attention towards the promise and the covenant he had made for them. It's not as if God forgot he ever even made a covenant. Right? An angel didn't say, God, don't you remember you made that promise? Oh, yeah. That's not how it worked, right? He didn't forget. He's now turning his attention purposely towards, right, that covenant that he made. Now, let's go back to Psalm 78. What happened with the children of Israel? In Psalm 78, we see that the Bible tells us in verse number 7, let's see here, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God and keep his commandments. Verse number 11, and forget his works and his wonders that he has showed them. Now, as I mentioned a moment ago, I'm hoping and praying, and many of us are, and have been praying for a long time, that you made some decisions this week, that you've heard the preaching. What an excellent message is from Brother Gaddis. Tremendous. God used him in a great way. And you had made some decisions based upon what you heard from God's word and from the Lord this week. Now your job is to leave this place and not forget. Now there are many times in my life when I was a young person, I've made decisions for the Lord. I remember I was at a conference, a big youth conference, and after the youth conference, a buddy of mine, we were excited to serve the Lord, and we said, man, we just need to commit to serving God, and we decided we're going to pray about it. And so we left the area where we were all at. It was an outdoor thing, and we were all outdoors, and we left that area, and we got into the parking lot, and we found a pickup truck. I don't know whose truck it was. I have no idea. But we knelt down at the bed of this pickup truck, and we prayed together, and him and I, his name was Matt, and him and I knelt down at the back of that pickup truck, and we prayed, and we asked God that God would use us, and God would use our lives, and we committed to using, serving him with our life that day. And I looked back at those days, and I said, you know what, Lord, I committed my life to serving you at that time. I remember being at another youth conference, and I remember it was a large conference, a lot of teenagers there, and the invitation came. I don't remember much about the message. In fact, I don't remember the message at all. I remember who preached, but I don't remember the message. But I remember during the invitation, the preacher there said, if you're willing to serve God with your life and surrender to serving Him, I want you to stand up. And it seemed as if everybody in the room stood up. And I was sitting there in my seat thinking to myself, if everybody in here, a couple thousand teenagers, was serious about this, what a small drop compared to the population of the world. What a great need that there is. And I stood up and I surrendered my life to full-time, to serving the Lord with my life, whatever it was He wanted me to do. I remember those times. I turned my attention back to those decisions that I made. And I say, Lord, I remember making that decision. I remember choosing to serve You. And I'm purposely focused on remembering those decisions. Let me ask you a question. I'm not going to call anybody out to tell me, but how many of you have made a decision this week? Put your hands up. I'd like to see a lot of hands up. A lot of hands. Praise the Lord. All right, put your hands down. How many of you feel like there's probably in your life more decisions you're going to need to make? Absolutely. God's going to continue to grow us and help us to be what we ought to be throughout our life. Sanctification is a growing process, right? Salvation is one point in time. Sanctification is a growing process, and we grow in the Lord over time. And there's going to be times in our lives we need to continue to make decisions. Hey, we're going to have to purposely remember, focus on those times when we have decided to surrender and serve the Lord. Now, as I think about the times in my life when I did things like that, when I surrendered, a lot of those times that I remember are back when I was under 18 years old, high school age. Our college age, a lot of that too. Yeah, I remember that time of my life making big decisions. I was saved, the most important decision you'll ever make. Getting saved, putting your faith in Christ as an 8-year-old boy. I remember making that decision. I was called to preach. I felt God called me to preach as a teenager. We were at a camp and there was a message preached, and we all had, there was a big fire and we all had a stick and we had to take our stick and say, what are we going to do for the Lord, and throw our stick into the fire. And I remember God impressing upon me to be in full-time ministry and God calling me to preach the gospel and making that decision that day. And I look back at that decision and on purpose, remember those kinds of decisions that I made as a young person. And the reality is, you're going to leave this place and the devil's going to try to get you anything, get you to do anything other than the decision that you have made. And he's going to try to distract you, and you could be doing something that's not even wrong necessarily in the eyes of the world or even in the eyes of any of us. But it's not God's will. And you're going to forget, not that you don't remember it happened, but you're going to forget the decisions that you made. And we need to on purpose remember those things. So a couple of things I want to mention. How are we going to do that? How are we going to remember? This is where my outline would have been nice if it had come up. How are we going to remember? Notice verse number 32. All that happened to them, right? All that God had done with them. All God provided for them. And verse number 32 says, for all this, they sinned still. How are you going to remember the decision you've made this week? Avoid sin. Avoid sin. Listen to me. Some of you, a crowd this size, and as I sat and watched and observed as things were happening, and as the Lord spoke to my heart, and having been pastoring and been in many youth conferences for a long time, right, I know that there are some of you that want to love the Lord, want to serve the Lord, and you're ready to make a decision, and you're ready to do what God would have you to do. There are some of you that are teetering. You're not sure. You're going back and forth on it. Just like this preached last night, right? You're being pulled in different directions, and you're flirting with things of the world, and then maybe I'll do things of God. And some of you, honestly, there are some here right now who really don't care. And I've watched as some of you paid very little attention during some of the most God-used, I believe, preaching I've heard a long time. And some of you weren't hardly paying attention. And the reality is, right, we want to get to your heart. And my fear is you'll leave this place and Satan will know what it takes to get you to compromise and to get you to sin. Satan knows where you're at. Listen, if I'm at a Walmart and I'm shopping at Walmart and I step out of the Walmart and some sleazy guy comes out from around the corner with a trench coat and opens up a trench coat and says, "Hey, I got something to make you feel real good." And he's got some kind of drugs or something in there. Am I going to do that? No. Does Satan know he can tempt me with that? No. Aren't you thankful? I'm not going to take drugs from a sleazy guy at Walmart. How many are thankful for that? How many are still listening to me? Here we go. Praise the Lord. I've never done that, by the way, and I'm not tempted to do that. And just to keep things clear here, Brother Matt, I don't take drugs out of sleazy guys from Walmart. But right, the Lord knows what it is I would be tempted with, and Satan knows. Satan knows what it is I would be tempted with, and he knows how to tempt me to get me to do something other than God's will. And I need to avoid those things that are sinful or wrong, and I need to avoid those things that would keep me from doing what I know is right to do. There's a restaurant in our town, it's called the Garden of Eden. Because the theme by the Chamber of Commerce in Galesville is the Garden of Eden. Because some guy several years ago, many years ago, 50 years ago, whatever, thought that Galesville, Wisconsin was the actual location of the Garden of Eden. He wrote a little book about it. The local restaurant picked up on it and called it the Garden of Eden, E-I-T-I-N, Eden, E-A-T-I-N, Eden. And so in the Garden of Eden, the restaurant in our town, whoever owns that place used to really be into rock and roll music. And they have all kinds of guitars and rock and roll memorabilia and, posters from 70s rock bands and all that kind of stuff. I don't go there very often, but if I do, I can walk in there, I can eat a burger, because they have good burgers, and I can leave and never one time be bothered by any of that. I couldn't care less about their propaganda they have on their walls and what they do. However, I was doing discipleship with a guy who came out of that lifestyle, and one time we decided to meet at a restaurant, and I went there, and man, he struggled with it. He struggled sitting in there. All that stuff just brought back memories to him, and all the songs he could sing, you see Lynyrd Skynyrd or whoever's on the wall. He knew their music and knew all that stuff, and Satan knew that's the kind of thing that would trip him up, and the truth of the matter is, Satan's not going to trip me up with some sleazy guy at a Walmart who's going to offer me drugs. However, he knows what's going to slip me up, and we need to be very careful about this. Let's not allow ourselves to fall into sin. Focus, purposely focus on the decisions that you have made. Verse number 32 says, "For all this have sinned still, and believed not his works." Number one, right, avoid sin. Number two, believe in God or trust in God. Hey, take time to just say, "Lord, I'm trusting in you." Maybe there's going to come a time in your life when something unexpected will happen. Brother Grohl mentioned the car accident that I was in. It was a couple years ago, right? I wasn't anticipating that. I wasn't waking up that day thinking, "I'm probably going to get a big car accident today." Got into my car and took my oldest daughter to work and Randy's grocery store in town, and I brought her home, and I was waiting to take a left into our church parking lot, and wham, I got hit by a wheeled chair transport van, rear-ended me. Put me in the ditch. I hit into oncoming traffic. The guy that coming this way, I hit him. We both ended up in the ditch. They cut the top off of the car, to get me out of there. Spent 5 weeks in the hospital. It was quite the event, right, that took place that day. It was quite the thing that took place that day. It was a time when I just said, "Lord, I just need to trust in you, and you have done this for a reason. I don't know what's going to happen in my future, but Lord, I'm trusting in you." Got out of the hospital 5 weeks later, ended up in a wheel transport van to get me home. And that guy was a crazy driver. And he was playing some kind of AC/DC music or something in his car while I'm in the back there in the wheelchair, and he's cruising down the road, passing up on oncoming traffic lanes, and it's no wonder the wheelchair gone to... Praise the Lord for that service. I'm not against any of those guys, but the guy I got and the guy who ran into me, both of them were not good drivers. However, things come into our lives and we need to believe and trust in God. We're going to be done here. I'm not going to take much more time, but I do want to say this. You've made decisions this week. It's a matter of remembering, not a matter of, "I just totally forgot about that." Oh, man. It's a matter of saying, "You know what? I know the decision I made. I need to focus on that. I need to remember that. I need to take the time and draw my attention once again. I remember when I made that decision. I remember when I said I'd read the Bible more. I remember when I said I would witness to somebody, right? I remember when I said I would not, you know, a lot of response to the invitation is wonderful, wonderful. I remember those decisions that I made. We're going to have a time of prayer, and I'm going to give an invitation today. And what I want to do with this invitation is everybody who's made a decision this week, right, I want you to commit to sticking with that decision and purposely drawing your attention towards those decisions that you made. Not flippantly saying, man, I made that decision, but then next week you're into your games or whatever you do with your life and forget all about those things. But rather say, I'm going to take steps to purposely remember the decisions that I've made for the Lord. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just thank you so much for what you have blessed us with, and we're so thankful for your example and your word, Lord, of how you purposely draw your attention towards things, towards remembering Israel, the decisions that you've made, Lord. Help us to purposely draw our attention toward the decisions that we've made for you. Be with these young people, Lord. It is our desire that they would love you and that they would serve you and they would do what you would have them to do with what you would have them to do with their lives. And with our head bowed and our eyes closed, I'm going to have the piano play. This altar is open. Let's all stand together as the piano play. If you made a decision this week, now's the time to commit. Lord, I'm going to remember. I'm going to purposely think back on these things with my life and serve you with them.